The whole basis of this is, you know, a number of years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was complaining, praying about that we always got by, which is way better than not getting by, but that we, it would help if we had some excess to do all these projects and, you know, send missions and do things that, and the Lord said, why don't you take a first fruits offering? And I thought, I had to learn what it was. And then the first year we did it, I did it with such fear and trepidation. We were apologizing the whole way, like, you know, and it just overwhelmed us with the response. And then even more so with the miracles that were released. And year after year, it's just blown us away with, number one, what God speaks to us, that he speaks to us and he gives us amounts and he puts it in our heart. Ann and I, you know, it's funny, you can hear God specifically, like where it kind of takes you off guard, or he can put things in your heart. So we were, you know, as this time, we always seek the Lord and we always compare our notes, you know, at the end, just to see where we are. And I got a number that was, I thought, oh man, Ann will probably think that's too much. You know, because it's the thing that there's always a stretch of faith, you know, you get an amount. So we were having dinner and Ann said, well, you have a number? I said, yeah. She said, okay, I'm going to write mine down. So she wrote it down and then that way it's written in case I say something different. And then she shows it to me before I say it. And I said, well, that's exactly the same number I have. So it's just a fun experience of God speaking to us the same way. So Lord, bless anyone that's still wondering, God, that's still just seeking you, Lord, that they would hear from your heart. And this would be with great joy. In Jesus' name. Okay, so it's all based in this, that our Father loves it when we do well. Would you all agree with that? All right. And so just a quick review of the principles so that what we do today, we'll do it with great faith. That first fruits is different than tithing. You know, tithing, and some people, you know, don't know if we should tithe or not. But I think, like, well, why not? It's all good, you know. So it's not like, it's not the law. It's just a principle and a starting point. But a tithe is a thank you. We give it, it's, you know, the tenth of all our increase. And so we're giving based on God has given to us, now we're giving back. But a first fruits is prophetic. It's like it's given at the beginning of the harvest. Before they know how much the harvest will be, the people were instructed to bring in an offering. And God said it would make the entire harvest holy. It would be a blessing to the Lord. And so first fruits sanctify our whole life. You know, they're like, we're saying, God, I'm believing you for this much. And I, you know what? I think it kind of tickles them. You know that when we don't have faith, it doesn't please them. You know, faith is pleasurable to our Father. You know why? Because he trusts us. It's kind of like if our kids come to us and say, Daddy, you can do anything. You know, when they're about three or four, they just think you can do anything. Well, our Father can do anything, you know. So, like, when we do this, we please him because we come in faith. And here's, you know, in case this isn't the law, this is just a pattern. In fact, in the New Testament, in Romans 11, verse 16, I'm reading from the New International Version, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. That's the principle. We're just sanctifying. We're making everything holy. We're setting it outside the natural order. We're saying, God, all that I have, all my whole life, is now in the realm of supernatural. And God separates it from the ordinary, treats it as his own, and our whole life becomes extraordinary. Amen? I mean, it's like, this is good. And so he treats it like it's his. And that's what we're just participating in him and with him today. The second thing is that it's... thank you. God bless you. That was a good sneeze. So, all right. We just pray we'd be free from everything here. So that when we when we honor God with first fruits, the pattern is that it will cause a blessing to abide. It's actually something that we're invited to do, and we give him our first and our best, and he loves to bless us. He's a blesser. He's looking, his eyes are running to and fro over the face of the earth, looking for those to whom he can show himself strong, whose hearts are perfect toward him. Like, so our eyes are on him, and he gives us these ideas that seem crazy, and he just releases miracles. Ezekiel 44:30. Now, this is really interesting. You think, well, that's really Old Testament. Ezekiel, do you even understand Ezekiel? But the last, from Ezekiel 40 to the end of the book, he's actually prophesying of a restoration temple that's spiritual, that's in the future. This is where the dry bones live. This is where the water flows from the threshold of the temple, and everything the river touches lives. It's actually talking about the new covenant temple, that we are the temple, right? And so in the midst of that, and it's all prophetic. You understand the prophets, everything's not literal, it's poetic. It's like imagery. God is trying to communicate something that's beyond our world to us. And so Ezekiel 44:30 reads, "The best of all the first fruits of any kind you shall give, and here's what will happen. It will cause a blessing to rest on your house." Now, I like a blessing resting on my house, because a blessing is imparted favor and protection. Anybody need that in your home, you know? And then it says it will cause it to rest, which means God's blessing will find a resting place. It will settle and just rest on your home. That means it just multiplies, gets better and better. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. This is so... Actually, God, I mean, he ties this to bringing the first fruits, and it causes a blessing to rest on our home. Now, the thing that, this is my favorite analogy of giving in general and then first fruits, is that when we're giving, the scripture uses the imagery of planting seeds. We're planting seeds for a future harvest. That's why it's first fruit. Now, why is that important? Because seeds are alive. You know, seeds, I mean, the life in seeds is bursting out of them. God, in his wisdom, created seeds to hold life indefinitely with almost infinite potential. And so they find these things where they discover seeds, archaeologists discover seeds that are 2,000 or 3,000 years old, wheat seeds, and they plant them and they sprout and grow. Isn't that wild? I mean, that life had been there, held there for 3,000 years until it was planted, and then it burst forth into its potential. And so a seed contains instructions for the future. So with our offering today, we're informing the future. We're informing the universe of the future that we're having. It's a creative act that we do. It's part of our image and likeness of God. You know, we're not doing this like we have to, or we're slaves, or we're like, oh, brother, you know, but it's like, God, I'm partnering with you to create a better future. And so, and this is the scripture that we often use to illustrate this, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And so, the word sparingly there, it has this connotation of negligibly. You know, like, do you know what neglect is? Like, oh, okay, well, here's a little, you know, okay, I have to get something, you know. And we just do it, but we don't really want to. That's what sparingly means. And bountifully, literally, the Greek word there is blessing. We're sowing blessing, and we're going to harvest blessing. Come on, I like blessings. I don't know about you. So then it says, we each give what we've decided in our heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver, because what makes us cheerful is that we give believing God is so good, believing this is a privilege and a joy. Yay. Sometimes it has a little bit of like, oh God, that's the sacrifice part, but The seed we sow, what it connects our lives into the promises of God. Now, you know, I mean, you think about a seed, it's just sitting there. But when we plant it in the soil, it germinates in the soil. And it, as it germinates, it rises up and it's the, I mean, the seed releases plants which can harvest the energy of the sun better than any solar cell that's been made to date. And that they harvest the energy of the sun, which, and they're able to harvest the potential out of the soil and convert it into something that's useful for food, useful for clothing, useful for living in, useful, you can burn it for fuel. I mean, is that amazing? It's all there in that seed.
Yeah.
Come on. I just love it, you know. So it, when we come today, we're kind of reverently holding this beautiful seed we have in our hands. We'll take a moment and we'll dedicate the seed we're going to sow. And but I'm telling you, this seed is squirming because it's alive. You ever try to hold a handful of wheat? You know, like it just kind of moves, you know, like it's hard to get it to sit still. Well, these seeds, they're alive and they can't wait to get into the soil of God's love and produce the fruit of his promises. And so we do this with reverence. And as we plant it, it's like the seed awakens. And it's ready. It's ready to be transformed and to transform. So I love this, that we do it with great joy. We don't do it out of effort. And so there's this example of Abraham, and he had two sons, Ishmael, which was brought about by effort and by human plans, and it ended up with discord and unhappiness. And then Isaac, Yitzhak, which was a total miracle, absolutely impossible. It was so crazy that both Sarah and Abraham laughed when the Lord himself, the angel of the Lord, visited Abraham and Sarah and told him what he was going to do. And he said, this time next year you'll have a son. And Sarah hears that she's eavesdropping and she starts laughing. And the Lord spoke to her and said, Sarah, you laughed, didn't you? And she lied right to the Lord. She said, no, I didn't, because she's afraid. That's why people lie usually. They're afraid. And isn't God good? He didn't say, well, now I can't do it because you told a lie, Sarah. Too bad for you. No, he just said, yeah, you'll see. I'll be here next year. I'm good. And my goodness will make you good. And so we're told in Hebrews that by faith, Sarah conceived. And then on top of that, Abraham laughed. And this little boy's name, Yitzhak, laughter. And God says, I just do things that seem so outrageous that it just makes you laugh. God, we just thank you for the explosion of laughter. And then when we give, this is stuff that we all know, but our generosity activates a reciprocal response. And it's reciprocal, it's energized, and it's proportional, and it's a response to our giving. Jesus said this, Luke 6:38, give, it'll be given to you. Likewise, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. You know, that's in the verse before, but verse 38 says, give and it might be given to you. Is that what it says? No. Okay, you all knew that. Good, you get an A in the little Bible quiz. Give and it will be given to you, and it'll be a good measure. It'll be pressed down. It'll be shaken together, and it'll run over. Like you can, it's just like, wait, I put it in there, and now it's being given to me, but it's pressed down. It's shaken together. It's running over. And it's going to be put into my bosom. And actually, one translation says, men will give into your bosom. That's not male. It's just human beings. You know, that God uses other human beings to bring the blessing to us. And with the same measure we use, it'll be measured back to us. And so God says, whatever measure you use, it'll be given back to you. And so, Anna, we've discovered, and I know it sounds corny like a cliche, but we can't outgive God, you know? So each year we give more, and it's like crazy more, and he just keeps blessing us. And I often think, I mean, I think now in recent years, we've given more away last year than I used to make in a whole year, you know? Like, just, and I'm not saying that like bragging or anything, but it's just like you go on this adventure with God. He takes you into partnership, and he says, you want to increase? I'll multiply seed to the sower. I'll feed the hungry. I'll give bread to the eater, but I'll multiply seed to the sower. So in doing this, it's like we enter into this partnership where God says, I'll multiply whatever you sow. Amazing. So he had this miracle. I know Brian mentioned it, but this one just, my mind still wraps around it, because the couple that shared, they had this land, it was family land, and they felt like the Lord told them to sell it to cancel all their debts and that kind of stuff. And it had been in the family for a few generations. So, but he made it clear. And when they were selling it, the surveyor called him up and said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to have to charge you more for the survey than I originally estimated. And he says, but there's some good news attached to that. So the reason is it's bigger than was on the record. You know, do you understand? It had been on the record. It was recorded as this much land, and there were 40 extra acres. It's like, that's a creative miracle. I mean, it was always there, but no one knew it. Maybe it was. I don't know what he did. Created Pennsylvania is now 40 acres bigger than it used to be. I don't know. But the price per acre happened to equal what they had sown in the first fruits offering. So they got a 40-time. That boggles my mind. And we've had supernatural healings. We've had conceptions, people that were given less than a 1% chance to ever conceive, and that currently have 3 children, maybe more on the way. And I mean, not just one person, but this has happened multiple times. And, you know, businesses that have prospered, doors that have opened, scholarships, all that stuff Brian talked about. But I just love, God is able. Isn't he able? And so that's the next point, that not only is it reciprocal, but our giving releases a display of God's power. You know, he releases an overflow of his own creative ability. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able. The word able there, you could translate powerful. You know, God is powerful to make all grace. How many would like all grace? I want all grace all the time. You know, like, I don't like it like, hey, I'll just take 20 hours of grace, 4 hours a day would be terrible. No, I like living in grace, you know. So God is able to make all grace abound, which means overflow toward you. Just point at yourself. You can say, toward me. Yeah, and toward me too. It's great, you know. Always having all sufficiency. The always and all just blow your mind, you know. That in all things you may have an abundance and overflow for every good work. So God makes us like he is. His overflow comes into our life, and then we're able to overflow to every good work. Have there been things you wanted to do that you couldn't do? There were, you know, missions you wanted to give to, projects you wanted to see done. Think good works. That doesn't just mean in church. I just want you to get this in your brain. Work is worship. You know, whatever you're doing, we do unto the Lord. And it's like in that we see good works, things we'd like to do for our neighbors, our family, the world around us, and for ministries and churches, of course. But it's like we need an abundance for that, don't we? So God, I just thank you that you're able to release this, that there be an overflow for every good work, and that men would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And so now the good news is God works with what we have, not with what we don't have. And so we talked about this a lot of the time. You know, it's the widow and Elijah, the widow and Elisha, the widow sowing 2 little copper coins that equaled a penny. And all of these are pointed out in Scripture so we wouldn't be discouraged if we don't have much. He doesn't mind that. You know, Jesus said, hey, look at her. She gave more than everyone else because she gave all she had. And so can you imagine this in heavenly accounting systems different than our own? And so don't let what you don't have overrule what you do have. And you might say, well, this doesn't seem like much. Well, it doesn't seem like much if we're comparing ourselves to everyone else. But if we're comparing ourselves to what God is asking to do, that little bit could be massive in the heavenlies. And Jesus used the parable in their day of the mustard seed, which everyone was fascinated by because it was the smallest seed that they would put in their garden, and it made the biggest plant, this huge plant that was like a big bush, a small tree. And we have in our culture something even more amazing, I think, which is the giant sequoia. And so today, and we've shown this before, you know, these giant sequoias that grow out of these little tiny seeds. So today, as a prophetic reminder, as you sow your seeds, we were able to get sequoia seeds. We've got them in little bags, and they're actually taped onto a little thing here, or you'd never find them. They're so small. But today, as you sow your seed, we're going to give you more seed, sequoia seeds. And maybe in a couple thousand years, there's going to be a giant sequoia forest all over central Pennsylvania. And beyond. You know, I know some of you came from other states, but it's like, God, let this be a reminder to us of the power that's in a seed, the longevity that's in a seed, and, you know, this massive potential. All right. So, wrapping it up here, what are the keys to the first fruits? If we understand it and we trust it, then we have faith. It's cyclical. We do it on an annual basis. Sometimes people do it whenever they're starting something new. Secondly, we do it in faith. I've talked a lot about that. But faith is beyond comfort. You know, comfort is like, oh, well, what do we want? Oh, okay, well, we could do this. That's comfort. Like, we can do it. It fits in the budget. Faith is we say, Lord, what would you have me give? And he may speak to us in a really clear way, or he may just put it in our heart. And it's usually a little scary. That's just the nature of trust, you know, that it's just beyond, a little beyond our ability somehow, you know, like, ah, or might be a lot. I don't know. But faith is really something we do in relationship with God, you know, just, and he may just put it in our heart. It may just come to us like, boom, I think that's it. And that's part of our faith, is that we believe, oh, God, you can speak to us in a whisper, that it doesn't take an earthquake or a fire or a mighty wind, but God is speaking in a whisper, you know, in the silence almost. And so we go ahead and do that. And then, but we want to avoid thinking, well, this is just like great, you know, so if I do, I'm just going to give everything. And if you can give everything, but only if God tells you, okay? Because it's like, otherwise we step into presumption. I have this great example. One year, this guy, we were all young Christians. I was a young pastor. And we had this real, it was our first house. It was horrible and ugly and a total fixer-upper. And I had this idea that I could build a stone backup for the wood stove, and it would make the house beautiful, and someday we'd sell it for more. But I didn't have a truck, and we didn't have any money. Well, meanwhile, there was this young guy, and he got this idea that if he sewed a truck, he wanted to get exactly this certain kind of RV. And so I didn't know any of this. He just came to me and says, Charlie, the Lord told me to give you my truck. And I said, really? I mean, it wasn't a great truck, but it was a truck. And I thought, that's going to be handy because I can go get rocks out of the forest and build my thing. And so I said, okay. So he gave me the truck, and it made a few people mad that I had his truck and he didn't, because he'd have to get rides with them to work. And so at the end of the summer, he didn't get his RV that he was believing God for. Why? Because it was presumption. You know, and so he came to me and said, hey, could I have my truck back? And I said, sure. Didn't cost me anything. You know, have it back. And it was a blessing, but he didn't get what he wanted. Why? I think it was presumption, you know, not faith, that he just had this wild idea. It was the most valuable thing he had, so he gave it to me. Thank you. And I used it and gave it back to him. So God is good. Even when we're presumptuous, he's good. But and just so in case anybody gets carried away, so you're not, well, maybe this is presumption. Don't worry. You know, we just do this no fear guarantee that if, you know, in a reasonable period of time, if you wait more than a month, we may have already invested it elsewhere in other projects. But if you realize a week or two from now, like, oh my gosh, see, I didn't say God because I didn't want to take his name in vain, but, you know, just like, you might go, Jesus, no, did I really do that? you can come tell us, say, hey, I really thought it was God, but it wasn't, and I need the money back. We'll give it back to you. We've done it before. We do it with joy, and we're just proud of you for that you stepped out on the branch. So that just relief. Okay, that's the no fear guarantee. And then in all the years we've done it, we've just done this very, very few times. But then the other thing about first fruits is that they're sacrificial. You know, there's always this element of sacrifice in an offering we make to the Lord. David, who had caused a big problem for Israel, and all these people were actually dying because of what he had done, was trying to stop this plague that he had brought on the people, and he saw the angel of the Lord, and he wanted to give an offering, and he saw a farmer who actually wasn't an Israelite. He was there with his oxen, and he said, Hey, I want to buy your land and your oxen because I want to make an offering to the Lord right here, right now. And the guy wanted to give these to David because he was the king. Like, go ahead, have it, king. And David said, no, I won't give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. And it's this idea that the offerings that catch God's attention are always, there's something about them that are costly. It makes it fragrant oil. And so we come with that understanding that an offering is a sacrifice. And it's, I don't know, it's just like God gave us the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus. Somehow we're participating in that to make the world a better place. And then we encourage you all to focus on it, that in the, I mentioned it before, in the envelopes, there's a place where you can list the crops that you're planting seed for. You know, like, I want this, this. Don't worry if your list is big. That's all right. God's a big God. But if you can avoid just putting whatever God wants, that it's just hard to get the testimony out of that, as I said before. And then, but these are things that reflect the godly passions, the desires of your heart, that they're based in God's word. There's nothing ungodly about them. And then once you've sown them, you know, we're going to agree with you and we're going to pray over them. But just say that over time, you know, just keep these and remember them. And at times during the year, you just decree. Some of you really remember it. You might say it every day, but you just decree, I declare these things. I declare that I have sown seed for this breakthrough, and I'm pronouncing with my image of God, creative human voice and rational soul, a decree, a royal decree that this will happen. And we stand in faith, even if it looks like it's going the opposite direction. And here's the deal. You're sowing seed in good ground, and you will reap in due season. Don't faint. Don't get weary in well-doing. And so today's the time to sow. We're going to consecrate our dreams and our lives. And I think that's about it. Do you want to give your first fruits? And if you're a visitor here, please, we love that you're here. There will be ministry afterwards and all of that. But this is just a holy thing that we do every year. And I want to bless the online givers. And Ann and I are going to make a declaration over all your giving soon, but particularly for those online, because maybe there's no one personally to receive your seed. As you give, I just declare over you that the Lord will give you rain for your seed, which you sow today. That he'll increase you many times and bless you as he's promised in Jesus' name. So you're watching online, you can give at any point, but that's the blessing for your offering today. And I think it'd be good if we have everyone stand up, don't you? Okay, this is Ann, my lovely help that I need from God. And if you want, you can hold up whatever represents your offering. If you have an envelope, if you've given by PushPay, I still hope you have an envelope so we can pray for you. But just, you can place them near your heart, wherever, whatever is meaningful to you as a prophetic action, because this is the word of the Lord. And so, we speak. God's word declares that as you bring your offerings into the storehouse, that he will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings that overflow. Because of these, God's promises to rebuke the devourer and protect the fruit of your labor from destruction are released.
Because of the cross and because of your faith in the blood of Jesus, you are the children of Abraham and the blessed of the Lord. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace.
Therefore, I boldly declare amazing financial blessings on you and your household. I call in jobs and better jobs. I bless you with breakthrough, and I command that which has been restricted to flow freely. I instruct matters that have been tied up in court to be settled so that you can enjoy what God has intended for you all along.
I call back to your homes, your wallets, and your bank accounts what the enemy has stolen from you. I declare that God restores double for what has been stolen or lost. I call for the Jubilee restoration of your rightful portion. May the Lord restore that which has been stolen from your family line over the generations, restored with interest.
I declare blessings on those who work in sales, more commissions, deals, and opportunities be attracted to you. And for all the faithful, I declare that opportunities for advancement will come to you. I speak blessings on your investments, call for guidance and astounding profits.
Because our Father delights to surprise his children, I declare that the Lord will cause you to unexpectedly find money, receive checks in the mail, and that opportunities to prosper will find you.
For every business owner, may your businesses become so abundant that you bless your employees with pay raises and increased benefits.
I call for such a spirit of abundance to come upon this people that God miraculously brings you out of debt and that you are released from the stress and the burden of debt. And I release wisdom so that you can come into a new peace and a new reality of financial freedom and God's provision, and so that you and your house may serve the Lord with newness of joy.
May you and your house enjoy abundance, and may you give the way you've always wanted to give. Life Center, I bless you in Jesus' name as you come bringing your gifts.